God chaser, that I'm chasing your name, Lord. I don't know what this is going to bring, Lord. Sometimes this brings ridicule. Oh, come on, somebody. Sometimes this brings persecution. Sometimes this brings people coming after your integrity. This brings people coming after your character, meaning calling you everything but a child of God. And you know that they all are not true. But nonetheless, the God, what he has us, he got us, and what you're going to get, you're going to get. Oh, come on, somebody. If God has earmarked it for you that we have to walk in that, I know that's easier said than done, because even you know, me, pastor, I struggle too, amen. I don't know why people think we as pastors are exempt from this stuff. We are not exempt. In fact, we may even call to a higher call. Why? Because we're standing before God's people, amen. So you need to pray for your leaders and pray for those who God said that have the rule over you. Pray for your supervisors. Look, that stuff is not easy, amen. You know, I've been a supervisor on my job before, and I remember it seemed like, you know, when you're the supervisor, you know, everything stops at your feet, amen. That whether you did it or not, it stops at your feet. And it much like this, when you're the pastor of the church, that everything stops at your feet. Whether you did it or not, it stops at your feet because it's under your watch. And I'm just grateful. So I ask that you all continue to pray for me as I continue to pray for you. Thank you to all of those who are so faithful for our morning prayers. Amen. As we go Monday through Friday, we pray at 6 a.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. Again, we pray every day, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. at Eastern Standard Time. I'm just so grateful. We see now the weather has changed. I know we have had these long, strong Indian summers where we're getting 70-degree weather, but now it seems like old man winter has shown himself, and he's shown himself here, and it's a good thing, amen, because we need all the seasons, because each one of these seasons play a vital and critical role in our world and how things in our ecosystem, amen, and we start fooling with the ecosystem, then that starts fooling with us, believe it or not. Why? Because we are our bodies respond to our environments. Our bodies respond to our environments. Amen. So I'm just so grateful. I'm going to give honor to First Lady Ely. Just love her so much, and so grateful to the two beautiful children that she birthed in me. My daughter Madison, son Preston. Amen. And my mother-in-law here that resides here with us in the home, and we're just so grateful to them and all, you know, everything that God has done for us. As we have been talking here for the last, we have been talking for months now about the double harvest, and it just seems like God is incredible. I didn't realize how much seed time and harvest was in the Bible, and the Bible talks about all these different harvests, and you know, and we come, you know, the thing that God laid in my heart about the double harvest, and at the time wasn't sure what that meant, and we talked about on last week what that meant. That as we glean, that we are to leave some behind. And God was just dealing with me on this week and working with me and chip, you know, God will work with you. How many of you know that God will work with you? I'm grateful that he'll work with me. And that means that he has to chip some things off of Peter. That means sometimes Peter's attitude got to be in check. That means sometimes Peter's emotions got to be in check. That God is what constantly chipping things off me. And sometimes I find myself, you know, almost like I'm just a weeping pastor because, you know, I don't mind. I tell people it don't make me weak. In fact, I think it makes me strong that I'll cry in a minute because God will just get on me and I just feel his glory and his power. And I'm just like, you know, I'm just reminded, Lord, you know, Lord, I'm not grateful. I mean, I'm not grateful, but I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of the blessings that you store upon me, Lord. Jesus, that why did you pick me, Lord? Why me, Lord? Why not somebody else? And then he has to remind me that him who he called, he qualifies. Lord, I think about it and say, Lord, my voice don't sound the best. Lord, I don't sing well. Lord, I don't dance. And Lord, sometimes I get tongue-tied. Lord, I stuttered when I was a young kid and all these kind of things, all these things that you bring up before God. And God looks at you and say, what did I do with Moses? And I'm like, but Lord, you let Aaron speak for Moses. But Lord, you know, and God and I have these kind of conversations. Come on, somebody. I'm the only one who talked to God like that. And I'm the only one that had these kind of conversations with your Lord and your Savior. He's your God too. And you can have these kind of conversations with them. And then he reminds me that, you know what, that he has us and that we are to go forward and that we are to run and not be weary. And then in due season that we will reap if we faint not. So our job is what? Not to give up. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that's an easy thing. Because I know that you've been through that and some of you have been through some things and some situations that you really question God himself and say, Lord, are you even real? Lord, if you were real, Lord, why did that happen to me? Lord, if you were real, why you allow that to happen to my family member? Lord, if you were real, Lord, why am I suffering through this? And why am I suffering through that? But I'm here to tell you today that all these things, the Bible says it like this, that all things come work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So that your suffering, he said, if you'll suffer with me for a little while, then what, you will reign with me for forever. And the suffering that we endure in this life is what? To set us up to be able to reign with him in the life that is to come. So I'm just here and just grateful to all of you all again to the Safe House Church Bible study on Wednesday night that we are having. So we want to go right into what I believe God has given us, and we're going to get out of your way on this morning. As we continue, you know, with the theme of the double harvest, the double harvest. So if you would be so kind with me, if you would turn to the book of Ruth, Ruth, that's Old Testament, the book of Ruth. Ruth is a small book. It only has four chapters. And in fact, what Ruth does, it gives a catalog or a timeline of the story of Ruth, in particular Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. I know many women used to walk around and say, I'm waiting to get my Boaz. And if you ever read the book of Ruth, if you have not read the book of Ruth, I strongly admonish you and encourage you to read it. It won't take you very long to read it at all, but you'll find that this story of Ruth and this gentleman named Boaz. So you hear, like I said, you know, the running joke was that women would say that we're waiting on our Boaz. I'm going to be a Proverbs 31 woman, and I'm waiting on my Boaz to come. And we find that Boaz just didn't show up. I know we say things and things that sound nice in the church that we like, but Boaz just didn't show up. Boaz was specifically placed where he was placed at the time that he was timed, that because there's some specific things that Boaz did and the reason why he marries Ruth. And we know that he marries Ruth, and many of you know the story well. But as we was looking through this on this day and we was praying and we was seeking God, God had placed in our heart, he said, look at Naomi again. And I know many times when we look at this story, many people focus on Ruth and how Ruth came to this point. But I really believe, even though the book even bears her name of Ruth, but I believe that what Naomi has gone through, what Naomi has shown us here, is really a tremendous lesson in perseverance and a tremendous lesson in self-sacrifice, a tremendous lesson in receiving the double harvest. Oh, come on, somebody. As I start to get into this on today. So let's go to Ruth number one. I believe that I can try to share a screen with you here a little bit. So give me a second here. Amen. I hope that I got this all set up correctly. Sometimes y'all know I get it. Sometimes I don't have it right. We'll see what I got. Oh, boom. We there today. Let me get this other. Oh, I know. I don't want to put it on this screen. I'm sorry. Let me take it off this screen. Give me 1 second. I'd rather leave this one alone. And we'll just switch to another screen. Amen. One day God is going to give me somebody who's going to be able to control all this stuff for me, and I'm not going to have to do it, and I can just concentrate on preaching God's word. And I believe that. Y'all believe in that for me? Amen. I'm believing God is going to give me some technical sound people, board people, and, I have to, run both. And I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. You do what you got to do until you can do better. Amen. And when you do better, God bless you. But I am believing God that he's going to send us somebody. Amen. Amen. So let's go ahead. Let me scroll this up here. We want to read out of the book of Ruth, the first chapter. And we're going to do a little bit of a reading today because I want to make sure that you get this. So I'm going to read a little bit. So if you bear with me, because I didn't want to skip around. All right. And it says this. And Ruth, I want to start at actually Ruth, the number three. Ruth, the third verse. First chapter of Ruth. Verse 3. Hey, if you have not shared this with somebody, you're on Facebook, hit the share button. Let somebody know that the Safe House Church is on and that the word of God is about to come forth. Amen. Ruth, the third chapter. Oh, I forgot. Y'all can see all that, huh? Ruth, the third chapter. The first chapter and the third verse. And thank you to all of those on podcast land. We're just so grateful to all of you all who continue to listen to this podcast that's now working on its way to be over 40,000 downloads, amen, and over almost 800 episodes. We're just grateful. 800 fresh words of God. All right, watch this, and it says, and Naomi's husband died, and she was left, and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of one of them was Orpah. And the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahan and Chilion, died. Those are the two sons, right? Died also both of them. Died also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So who we got here? We have Naomi. Naomi's sons of Malchon and Chilion. And they both died. Remember, they were there for 10 years. They were married to Orpah and Ruth, respectively. So Malchon was married to Orpah and Chilion was married to Ruth. Okay. And they, both of these husbands died. So now watch this. So Naomi finds herself in a place that Naomi, not only does her husband die, but she has these two sons. Okay, great. That means I have heirs. And so now I got somebody who's going to take care of me. These boys are going to look out for me because I got two sons. But watch this. Now the two boys die. The two boys die. So now Naomi doesn't even have the sons to watch out for her because now the two boys have now died. So now wait, now you have three women who are widowed. Oh, come on, somebody. We have three women who are widowed. One who is now what find herself in double grief. We look at Naomi. Naomi finds herself in double grief in that way. Naomi has not only lost her husband, but now she's lost 10 years later, two sons. Mm-hmm. So she's lost three leading men in her life. Her husband, who was her provider. Here, remember that the women here, what? Actually, what? The reason you take their last name is because of ownership. This is why they call them Lord. I know people don't like to hear that. They call it chauvinistic, but it is what it is. This is the Bible. This is what the Bible says. So what they call them Lord and they own, and you know, they buy them. They purchase them with their right. This is why you have to pretty much be rich. That, you know, being married is what? Being married is a business arrangement. Mm-hmm. It's a way of transferring wealth. It's a way of bringing forth next generation. They married to have sons. This is why you was considered blessed if you had sons. And not only to have two sons. So she being a woman that had two sons, that she was what? Blessed. But watch this. The husband dies. So now her world is wrecked. So, but now she, at least she got the boys. And now the two boys die. So now it's what? Naomi and her Orpah and Ruth. All right? And the Bible says, go on, let's watch this. Then in verse 6 it says, and then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the country of Moab. Now, what is she doing? They went and they moved away. They moved to Bethlehem, Judah, right? And when they moved to Bethlehem, Judah, what happens here is that now they moved to the country where their men were from. Mm-hmm. So now what Naomi is suggesting, let's go back to where you all are from. Let's go back to your country of Moab. Uh-huh. Now watch this. And it said, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Watch this. Now, many of us get in, we find ourselves sometimes in a place that we end up trying to chase our blessings. We try to chase our blessings. We hear, you know, that a thing that over here they're doing this and over there they're doing that. So what people have a tendency to do is instead of staying still, waiting on God, what we do is we chase things. Oh, come on, somebody. We chase things. It's one of these things, y'all know I'm a fisherman. And one of the things that I've learned in fishing, and we often talk about that, you cannot fish history. What I mean by fishing history is that because this lure or this bait worked in this one spot before, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to work again. So what happens is we have this thing we call dock talk. And when you go to the dock, you ask the guy, what are y'all catching fish on? And he'll say, we're catching them on a rubber worm or we're catching them on this. And what you have a tendency to do is when you first get in your boat, the first thing you want to do is go right where they said that they were catching them and throw the same thing they were doing. Oh, come on, somebody. Did you catch that? That you want to do the same thing that somebody else is doing. The Bible said, be careful what? People are having itching ears. So what they're doing is what? She's running. Why? Because she's heard a thing, itching ears. She's heard that somebody else over here was being blessed. But because somebody else here was being blessed, didn't mean that that was for you. Did you catch that? That was a word for somebody. That means stop running. That everything that you hear don't mean that you go running. You eat from everybody's table. I don't know about you, but my mama told me a long time ago, son, you just cannot eat from everybody's table. Everybody's not clean. Oh, come on, somebody. That everybody's not going to prepare their food a certain way. That everybody doesn't have your best interest at heart. I know that you're funny, you're loving, and you love people, and you want to help people, and you want to see people go to their next level. But some people don't want to see you go to your next level. Some people don't want to see you go to the next situation. Some people want to see you die there in the place that you're in. So what she do is what? She heard from somebody else, and what do? They go running after to what? Moab, because of what they heard, not what they were told. Oh, come on, somebody. Not what they were what? Told. See, it's one thing to hear something from somebody else, but it's another thing to be told to do a thing of God. Are y'all with me this morning? Did you catch that? So then he goes on and it says this. Then they said what? Then the Bible said that verse 7 said, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her. And they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. So what is she doing? She's telling them to go to your mom's house. Why go to your mom's house? Because your father will probably take care of you. See, remember when these two women are widow, and these are still some young women. You have to think about it. What if they got married if they were 18 years old? And the Bible said what? That their husbands died 10 years later. So these women are what? About 28 years old, possibly. I don't know. I'm speculating, but I'm just trying to lay down the context so you can understand what's going on here. So she tells them, look, go back to the house. Go back to your mother's house. Go back to your daddy's house. Hopefully your folks will take care of you. Why? Because I have nothing. Because what I did have, see, watch this. What I did have is now dead. My son is dead. My sons are dead. My husband is dead. This is why the Bible talks about what? When we pay in tithes and offerings. See, watch this. See, tithe is not just going to preacher's pocket. Oh, yeah, I know I'm stepping. I'm about to get in some trouble now. But the tithe is what? To go into the storehouse so there'll be meat in my house. So that what? You can also help take care of the widows and the children and the orphans. That's what the Bible says. That's Bible. I know I'm talking good, even if you don't agree. See, this is what that is for. So here what? So now if you look here at this time, why? Because these women didn't work. So now she's what? She does not have a husband. She's now widowed. So how does she take care of herself? She's used to living a certain way. She used to living a certain lifestyle. She's used to living like this and living like that. This is why men, I admonish you on today. If you listen to the sound of my voice, do not leave your family upended. Go get yourself some life insurance. Oh, come on, somebody. Can I talk good this morning? Get your stuff in order. You do not know. We do not know the day or the hour that what God would call us home. But that means that, look, don't leave your family in disarray. I think one of the poorest things I see is that what we've been so greedy, we can buy motorcycles and cars and all this other stuff and don't leave our family set up right. Come on, somebody. It don't cost you but a couple of pennies a day. Get something right. Love your family enough to leave them set up right. Woo! I had to get some clan claps from the women or something in here on today. All right, so then what do we find? So then he goes on and it says that what? She goes with them and she finds them. In verse 9, it says this, and the Lord grant you that ye might find rest, each of you in your house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lift up their voice, and they wept. They cried. They were what? Sorrowful. Why? Because they did not want to leave her. They love her. They have built what? A relationship, and they know that what? Now she's alone. She has nobody. Naomi's an old woman now. Naomi's an old woman now, and she has nobody to help fend with her. She has nobody to take care of her. So they're worried about her. They're concerned about her because they have grown into relationship with her. All right? So verse 12, and it says this, and then it says, turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. She's what? She said, I'm too old to have a husband. And if I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons. So what she's saying, look, I'm too old, y'all. Even if I wanted to have a husband tonight, I couldn't bear sons. Remember, sons, having sons here is an important deal. Why? Because it's how the family wealth is being passed. It's being passed, what, through that first male heir. Why you think it's a, go back and look at it. This is why, what, God, when even Mary has, what, Jesus. Jesus is, what, firstborn, and he's first male, what, heir. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me today? So watch this. I'm assuming, well, I'm not getting any action from you all on the chats or anything. So I'm assuming that y'all listening real good today. All right. So then watch this. So then she goes on and she says this in verse 13, and then I'm going to stop. It says, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. For the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. That was my introduction. Let me tell you what we're going to talk about today. We're looking for Naomi. Would you slap somebody, give them a high five, put it in the chat, give me some emojis or something to let me know that you're there. And remind me and tell me we're looking for Naomi. Tell somebody today that we're looking for Naomi. Looking for Naomi. Looking for Naomi. Looking for Naomi. Naomi, looking for Naomi. So what is the thing about Naomi? We know that Naomi here is a special individual. Naomi here is a woman that what has been blessed. She had a husband, and her husband has since died, and she had two sons, and the sons were good boys, and they have since died, and God had blessed her with some beautiful daughter-in-laws, and now she finds herself at a point that I need to make some decisions here. That Naomi has decided that even though I'm with myself, that what I'm going to do is I have decided that, look, I'm not going to be selfish. Because, see, I can ask them to stay here with me and to be here with me and to take care of me and do all these things, and they would have done this. But she had made a decision to say, look, I'm at a crossroads in my life. You all have an opportunity to live a good life. You all are, say, for instance, like 28 years old. You have the opportunity to get married again. You have the opportunity to bear children. You have the opportunity to live an awesome life. I'm old. I've had my husband. I've had my sons. And I've had you all, too, as two beautiful daughter-in-laws. And I'm grateful for that. So now that God has come against me, watch this. What did she say? She said, now that God has come against me, I don't want this to fall on you. One of the things, if those who are taking notes, number one point today is, that we do what? Self-mutilation. When we are looking for Naomi, we're doing mutilation. That we are putting things on ourselves. How many of us, when we get into a situation, and we get into a circumstance, we say, Lord, you must not favor me no more. Lord, look at me, Lord. I'm mutilating myself. I am calling myself down. Those things, he told me to speak those things as if they were. And what I find myself to do is say, woe is me. I call it the Eeyore spirit. Come on, somebody. Y'all know I'm a 70s baby, and I remember the 100-acre forest and Winnie the Pooh. And you always had Tickle who was bouncing around. He was happy all the time. You had Pooh who was doing his thing. But you always had that Eeyore. And it was always, woe is me. Always me. This is me. I don't know about you, but you can't stand around those kind of people very long. Those kind of people just drain your energy. Those kind of people just take your spirit. Those kind of people just pull on you, and they pull on your heart. Why? Because they want the attention of what they're going through. They want where they are, and you want somebody, what they say, misery loves company. All y'all watch this. It say, misery loves company. But what we find is this, that even in all of this, that she gives them a decision. Naomi, daughter-in-law, Ruth makes a decision. So Oprah decides to go back to her family. So now we don't see Oprah no more. She goes off and she's no longer in the picture. But now the rest of this, if you read through the rest of the book of Ruth, we find that the rest of this story now walks on that you find Naomi and Ruth being together in relationship. And they walk and they go back to where? They go back to Judah. And when they go back to Judah, they look for a job working in the fields. And in the fields that they work in is the name of a man named Boaz. Boaz is a man who's rich. Boaz has a lot of things. Boaz is good looking. He's handsome and he's rich. Now, for my women folk, they tell me it's one thing for him to be good looking. All of them want a good looking man. But if he got money too, y'all didn't hit the jackpot is what they tell me. So I wouldn't know. I wouldn't care. I'm on the other end of that spectrum. But so not only does he look good, he's good looking, but he got a little coin too, as the streets would say. He has a little coin. And here, but watch this. This is not what they're looking for. In fact, what they're looking for, they're just trying to survive. Remember, now you have two women who are widowed. And that they're widowed, they're what? They're just trying to survive. They're trying to make it to the next year. They're trying to make it to the next day so they get jobs working in Boaz's field. All right? So now they're in Boaz's field. And what do? It's the season of the barley. They are harvesting. Watch this. They are harvesting. And as they harvest things, they're going forth and they're harvesting. And they're taking the stuff that they're in the field. Now watch this. I'm going to go into Ruth chapter number 2. Ruth chapter number 2, verse 1. Ruth chapter number 2, verse 1. I guess I'll come over. I'll put it back on the screen for you. Chapter number 2, verse 1. And I want to give you seven more verses of this. Give me a chance to switch the screen here. Okay, here we go. All right, it says this. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, a family of Elimelech, and his name was what? Boaz. So who is Boaz? Boaz is Naomi's cousin by marriage. See, while she's out there, she's calling herself all these things. In fact, if we remember, if you go back in chapter 1, Naomi's to the point that Naomi changes her name to Mara because she is such distress. Watch this. See, what we do sometimes when we find ourselves in distress is we'll change our name. God has called us blessed and we'll say that we're poor. God has called us wonderful and we'll say that we're lame. God has called us strong and we'll say that we're weak. But we got to be reminded that what we got to speak God's language. We got to speak what he's told us to speak. We got to say what he's called us to say. We got to walk in what he's called us to walk in. We got to talk and what he's called us to talk in. And now what we find is what? Here, that she is kin to a mighty man of wealth. Her husband's family. They got money, y'all. The man got his own money. And then watch this. And then it says this. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto him, go, my daughter. Number two, for those who are taking notes today, you have favor in your distress. Oh, come on, somebody. You have favor in your distress. What does Ruth say? Ruth says here that what? I want to go over here and I'm going to ask him for a job. And I want to go work for him. And hopefully I'll find some grace in his sight. Mm-hmm. I'll find some grace in his sight. So what did she do? She went over there and she got a job. And verse 3, it says this. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Uh-huh. And her help was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. Watch this. It said, and she gleaned in the fields after the reapers. Let's read that again. She gleaned in the fields when? After the reapers. So that means what? That somebody has already reaped this field once. There's already been one harvest. y'all see where I'm going? So Naomi and Ruth get to eat off of the second harvest here. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. See, the second harvest, that double harvest, that's a double harvest here. See, weeping may endure for night, but that joy comes in the morning. That God is not marked. Whatever man soweth, that shall he reap. So what? Off of her family, that after they reap, I told y'all last week that you leave something for somebody else. So what does she do? She gets to come back and she gets to reap. She gets to eat. She gets to live. She gets to go forward. And watch this. And while she's reaping, while she's working, while she's putting her time in, while she's doing what she's got to do to make ends meet, while she's staying focused, while she's still believing, there's somebody looking at her in the field. I'm here and I'll speak prophetically to somebody's life today. While you are working, while you in what you in, it's not what you wanted. It's not what you signed up for. It's not what you thought it was. But I'm here to tell you today, while you are working, there's somebody watching to see how you work. Come on, somebody. There's somebody who's watching you. You don't even know who's watching you from afar. They're trying to see how you work because they know you got the short end of the stick here. But they're watching to see how do you work. How do you handle adversity? Woo! Come on, somebody. How do you handle being let down? How do you handle going behind somebody? But I'm telling you, it's out of the double harvest that we look for what? A Naomi. Out of the double harvest. Why? Because even though Naomi has put herself down, even though Naomi has put herself in this position with her own mouth saying these things, but God has not forgotten her. That God has what? He's connected Naomi. And in fact, he's brought Ruth into Naomi's life to watch this. He's going to save her life through Ruth. Oh, come on, somebody. That, watch this. God has not forgotten you. That he's going to save your life. He's just looking for some Naomis. He's looking for somebody who's going to be willing to be self-sacrificed and say, Lord, I know they could, but Lord, I'm not going to force the issue. Lord, I know I should. I know it might be within my right, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let this go in, and I'm going to let it go this way, and we're going to go on, and Lord, we're going to see what the end is going to be. Are y'all with me this morning? I'm teaching good. Are you getting some good stuff out of this? So then the Bible says this. So in verse 4, it says, And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless thee. And then said Boaz unto his servant, that was what? Set over the reapers. So there's a servant who runs off the reapers. Whose dasmo is this? Meaning, who is this lady? whose woman is this? Whose wife is this? See, I'm here to tell you today, while you are out there harvesting, you're just coming at, you're picking up the scraps that are left. You're getting this second harvest. But while you're doing it, there's somebody that's watching you questioning, who is that person? Why do they work the way they work? Why do they move the way they move? Why are they, you know, I ain't never seen nothing like it. Oh, am I having a witness in here this morning? So he's looking at her and she's working in the field. And watch this. Watch what happens. And then he says this in verse 6. And the servant said that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish Dazmo that come back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean. Now, this is what? This is Naomi and I'm asking Ruth. And I'm saying, let me glean and gather after. Woo, there it is again. Double harvest. After the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and have it continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. She waited, what? Very little in the house, but she worked her hind parts off. See, some of you are wondering, say, God, when is my blessing going to come? When the last time you worked your hand parts off? When is the last time that you put in that time? When is the last time you put in that effort? See, many of us want these blessings, and God will shower them on us. He will give them us. But what have you done? The Bible says it like this, that faith without works is dead. Without any work, you don't have anything to put forth. Without it, then you don't have anything to go with. Say, if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. That's Bible. So we keep asking God to bless us. We keep asking God, give us this and give us that, Lord. And he's what? Willing to do these things. But what? Have you done your part? Oh, I know it's mighty quiet in him on me today. So, but have you done your part? The double harvest. So what does she do? She's harvesting behind them for the second time. Mm-hmm. So what is she doing? After they got through self-medicating and going through this, watch this. She's harvesting behind them. Now, as we go on and we read the story, we find that what? Ruth comes back and tells Naomi about what's going on. She tells them that she see Boaz in the field. And she see Boaz looking at her. And what does Ruth do? I mean, Naomi do? Naomi devises a plan. Watch this. See, people don't talk about this part in this story. So what Naomi does is Naomi says, look, Ruth, go in there and take a bath. Mm-hmm. That's what she tells her. Take a bath. Put on your nice clothes. Put on a little bit of perfume. Go in there, bust that out, alabaster box. Put on some of these expensive perfumes or whatever we got. Make yourself look beautiful like I know you are. And I want you, when Boaz eats, make sure, wait till he eats and he drinks. Oh, come on, somebody. Watch this. I think it's very key that she says, in the word, says, wait till he eats and he drinks. Why does she say, wait till he eats and drinks? Because when a man eats, when his belly is full, and his mind's incapacitated, he'll make bad decisions. See, she said, wait till he eat and he's full, right? So now he's full and he is what? He's going to lay down. So he then got himself full. He's gotten satisfied. And what does he do? He goes to go what? Lay down. So now he's going to go lay down. And she told him to go lay yourself at his feet. She said, pull back his covers and lay yourself at his feet. So what does Ruth do? Ruth said, I would do as you asked me to do. Well, so what does she do? So then Ruth goes, the Bible says that Ruth goes, Ruth goes and lays herself down at the feet of Boaz, and Boaz, and she pulls back the covers, and Boaz gets up startled. Go read it. It's in there. He gets up startled. It's like, oh, who are you, and what are you doing, and all this, and he started like, why are you here, and you know this. And so basically, Naomi had convinced Ruth to go and try to seduce Boaz. Woo! Watch this. Naomi convinced Ruth to try to go and seduce Boaz. Now, I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters, and I'm learning this more and more every day. When God has something for you, he's more than the whole world against you. When God has something for you, you do not have to go beneath yourself. You don't have to change who you are. You don't have to go in there and throw yourself at him or her. Oh, come on. Am I teaching this good today? Listen, you don't have to throw yourself at him or her. That when God is ready and when the time is right, he will open the door. And I know the problem is some of us are not patient. So what point number three today? Naomi failed trying. See, the thing is, it's not the thing in failing, but at least she was trying. Now, Naomi was going after what she thought was theirs. She was going after what she wanted. She knew that what if they could get hooked up with Boaz and Boaz liked them, that what maybe their life would be a little bit better for them. They don't have to work as hard in the fields and they don't go through what they're going through and all this. So what she do, she convinces, like I said, Ruth to go and try to seduce Boaz by laying at his feet and saying all these things and da 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 da. And what she finds is that it backfires. So watch this. I'd rather fail trying than not try at all. That's a word for somebody. Somebody's thinking, well, you know, I'm just going to wait. I'm not going to just wait. I'm going to wait. No, try. Because maybe just trying. See, even in her trying, God fixed her mistake. See, when Ruth was laying, this is Ruth, the third chapter. Now, even in her trying, she got off base. See, sometimes, brothers and sisters, sometimes we can want things so bad that we can get things off base. It's not that we're any unsafe, but we fail to listen to God. Sometimes we get impatient because God is not working in our time schedule. I'm being first to admit that. God, you're not moving fast enough. Lord, I got a time schedule in my head. Lord, I want it right now. Lord, I got to set up like this. Lord, I want to do this at this age, and I want to do that at that age. But God might be saying, hold your horse. But why? Because I got this thing set up. See, the thing is, we got to remember is sometimes we get selfish. And what I mean that we get selfish is that we get self-absorbed. And it's like, Lord, I want it right now. But what you don't realize is if he give it to you right now, it might mess it up for Phoebe. It might mess it up for Shay. It might mess it up for Ola. It might mess it up for Fran. It might mess it up for Sherelle. It might mess it up for Carol. It might mess it up for Felicia. And Heather and Taylor and Shauna. You see what I'm saying? And that's all because you wanted it when you wanted it. But God got a way that he can plan it, that he can make sure that Shauna gets hers and Taylor gets hers and Felicia gets hers and Carolyn gets hers and Sherelle gets hers and Ola gets hers and Peter gets his and Sharon and Shay gets hers and Phoebe gets hers and everybody wins. See, the world don't like that everybody wins thing. This is why we got to be patient, because he has a way what that he works it. He has a way that it'll come together. He has a way that it all come together. And that's how we got to do it. Amen. So watch this. So he tells them. So at this point, what happened? Boaz jumps up and Boaz has a conversation with Ruth. And Ruth starts to tell Boaz that Naomi's actually your cousin. She's Elimelech. Elimelech's wife, you know, Elimelech has died and then the sons have died. You know, I was married to Chilion and Chilion has died. So now we're here in the fields and we're working in your fields and we don't have much to go on and we don't have much to do. But what Naomi was hoping now is that would you possibly marry me? So Ruth is asking Boaz, would he marry him? And what does Boaz say? Boaz, remember the Bible said that Boaz was a good man. Boaz is a man who follows the rules. You think Boaz got rich because he was cheating people? No. Everybody who's rich, it don't mean that they cheated somebody. Everybody who got something don't mean they got it. Everybody with a promotion didn't mean that they slept around or they gave of themselves to get it or that they kissed booty to get to the top. Yeah, I said it. You don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. So what happens here? What happens is then that Naomi has this conversation with Boaz and she tells him everything. And Boaz stands up and said, well, it's my duty. Watch this. That it's my duty that I marry you because of my kinsmen, because they need a inheritance. They need a lineage. They need to be able to their stuff to be able to be passed on and not to leave our family circle. So it's very common in biblical times that when the husband have died or when a relative died, that if there's another male there and they don't have a male child, or there's a male heir that's alive, then they will marry their kinfolk to give them a male heir. This is one of the reasons, if we hear you watching, you read it, this is why Boaz marries Ruth. But we'll talk about it. Let's get a little bit deeper. All right, so then what we find here is that as they go on, then we find that Boaz goes in and he says, well, I cannot just marry you straight off. There's protocol. There's some things. Do y'all not know that there's protocol in your life? Mm-hmm. You still have protocol in your life. There's some things that you just gotta do. Brothers and sisters, hear me well. There's some things that you just gotta do. There's some things you just gotta go through. Go through with them with grace. Go through them with love. Go through them with kindness. Go through them and know that what? God has got you, but you got to go through it. So what does Boaz do? Boaz goes through it. He goes through what? He goes and he proclaims and he talks to all his kinsmen and makes sure that there was nobody between him and them that desired to marry her, that wanted her. It was protocol. Mm-hmm. So what does he do? He goes through the protocol and finds that what? Nobody else wants to marry her. Everybody else said, no, we good over here, Boaz. We got what we got. So none of the other kinsmen. So what Boaz does, Boaz steps up and he does the right thing. And what does he do? He declares that he marries Ruth. And that's how Ruth got married. So some would make it all, just waiting on Boaz. Boaz married Ruth. Yes, he did. But he married her what? Out of what? Duty. See, we do things sometimes. I've been married going on what? This will be 20 years this year for me. There are times that I do things out of my duty. There's sometimes things I do not want to do. I'll be the first to tell you. I know there's things sometimes my wife don't want to do. But because I know I have a duty. I know that I have marriage vows that I'm going to honor. That I'm going to work my best to honor every single day. That I'm going to work my best to make sure that I fulfill. Honor and duty. It's honor and duty first, then love. See? Honor and duty. Boaz marries her out of what? Duty. So his family will have inheritance. Now, it didn't hurt that she was beautiful. It didn't hurt that she was lovely and all these other things, and that she was virtuous and she was a great woman. All those things were bonus. But he did it out of duty. All right? So then what does he do? So then he go. So now he's married to her, and the Bible says this. Watch this. That they have a son. That they have a son. They have a son. Ruth, let's see. Not, where I'm going to go? I have that here. They have a son. I'm going to go to Ruth, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to be done. I hope that y'all have gotten something out of this on today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go, let's go. I got to switch screens again. Ruth, the fourth chapter. I have it here in front of me, but I know y'all don't have it. I want y'all to see it. Ruth, the fourth chapter, and we want to start at verse, which one is it? 13. Ruth 4 and 13, it says this. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, meaning what? Sexual intercourse, sexual contact. The Lord gave her conception. Notice here, children come from what? They're the gift of the Lord. You don't make kids. They're the gift of the Lord. Uh-huh. So what it says, what? The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, he gave her conception. The Lord gives conception. And she bare a what? A son. And the woman said unto Naomi, the women say unto Naomi, watch this. They're not talking about Ruth here. Do you see Ruth anywhere in this? They said that the women, all those around, those who were watching, those who saw her go through her things, those who saw her, what she was going through, they were what? Looking for Naomi. And they looked for Naomi and they said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which have not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be what? Famous. Not just known, but famous in Israel. See, when God does it, he'll make your name famous. They'll know you everywhere. They just will know you everywhere. He said, be famous in Israel. Watch this. And y'all want to attest to this. Go watch this. And he says, and he shall be what? Unto thee a restorer. The Bible says like this. I will restore the years, the locust, and the cankerworm ate. Says some of you are thinking, Lord, life has passed me by. I'm an old woman, Lord. See, this is where Naomi found herself. That I'm an old woman here, Lord. That I do not have any more. Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I can't take care of myself. I can't. I'm an old woman. But God said he can restore the years. Do y'all believe it? He can restore. Watch this. And he said, I am the restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law, who is Ruth, which loveth thee, because Ruth loved Naomi. That's why she wouldn't leave. I'm here to tell you today, some of you got some people in your life, they in it for you. They really are. They love you. And I know you ain't had nobody love you like that. You ain't never, so you don't understand. And sometimes you take them for granted. Stop taking those people for granted. I included. There are some people who are really in this because they want to see you succeed. Now, don't get me twisted. Now, there's a number of them who can care less about you. But when you know those who are really there for you, cherish them because there are not many of them. Cherish them because there's not many of them. They tell me if you are able to get one or two in a lifetime, that you are blessed. You are blessed. So that Ruth, what, love her, which is what? Watch this. He said, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons. Now, remember, we talked about how great it was to have a son. Having a son was, as they would say in the streets, that joint, right? But it's better than what? Because you got somebody who loves you, who's looking out for you, who cares for you, who cares for your well-being, who really got your back. Oh, come on. That's somebody that's better than seven sons. And watch this. Even so much so, she had a son for you. Did you catch that? She loved her so much that Ruth had a son for who? Naomi. He is Naomi's son. See, Ruth might have carried the baby, but it's going to be Naomi's baby to nurture. Woo! Somebody should be jumping around that house right now. I just said some of you. Somebody else is going to be carrying this thing for you, but God is going to give it to you to nourish it. He's going to give it to you to build it. He's going to give it to you to bring it to life. He's going to give it to you to raise it. If y'all can't shout out that, I ain't got nothing for you. Woo! That somebody else is carrying the blessing for you. And because they loved you so much. See, this is also like the foreshadowing to who? Jesus Christ. That God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. So whosoever what? They love him should not perish, but what have everlasting life. That Naomi loved her so much that she had a baby for. And it's her son. This is why the women come in there. And the women said, what? Naomi, you are blessed. They're looking for Naomi. I'm looking for Naomi today. Who can we look and say, you know what? I know you've been through hell and high water. You've been through some things and you've been through marriage and you've been through job let off and you've been through health issues and you've been through some kid issues and you've been through this and you've been through that. But I'm here to tell you that we're looking for Naomi because women are going to say that you're blessed. I'm looking for Naomi today. I'm looking for her because I want to be able to say, Naomi, great as you are among the women. For God said that she, the Ruth that he's put forth with you, who's carried these things for you, have been a blessing to you more than seven sons. We know seven, that number of blessing. And in fact, she bore a child for you. Now watch this. Now people say, how do you know the child is hers? Now here comes the miracle of God. In verse 16 of that same chapter, that's Ruth 4 and 16, it says this. And Naomi, now remember this is Naomi. Naomi, the same one who's what? I'm desolate, I'm gone, I'm sick, I'm this, I'm old, and I can't do it. I can't even have any more. I can't have a husband, nor am I going to have any kids, yada, 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 putting herself down, taking herself through all these things. Do that sound familiar? Does that not sound like some of us talking ourselves in the mirror in the morning? But watch this. That same Naomi, the Bible says this, and Naomi took the child to her bosom. Now, I'm going to switch screens. I want y'all to see this. Because I want y'all to see this. People don't believe that's in here. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. Let me zoom that in. Come on. Come on, zoom. What's going on? Oh, I'm on the wrong page to zoom. No, I'm on the right page. Let me zoom that in for you. Watch this. And it says, and Naomi took the child, that son that Ruth carried and bore. And what did she do? And she laid him on her bosom, her stomach, and began, and what? And became nurse unto it. She nursed the baby, y'all. She put this baby up to her breast that's laying on her stomach, and she nursed it. Now, last time I checked, my wife had two kids for us, and I'm grateful. Always be grateful, forever grateful to her for that. And I remember my wife used to have this thing she called letdown, that the milk would only come down as she got ready, what, to nurse this baby. That sometimes if the kids would start crying, she would feel her breasts started to her bra to get wet and whatever, because what, the milk was coming out. Why? Because the milk was wet. Her body was reacting to the cry of the baby. And the baby was crying out for what? Nourishment. Whew, this is loaded, y'all. Catch this. Y'all gonna make me go back and look at this myself. Thank you, Lord. That baby was crying. When there's someone pulling on you, that which you thought was old, that which you thought was dead, that God would give you life again. Brothers and sisters, I know you've been through it all. I know you've been through some things, but I'm here to tell you today that life is not over. That even in your old age, even in this time period that you find yourself in, even with what you've been through, that God has a plan, that he has not forgotten you, that your baby, what, is crying. And as this baby is crying, that what, he's bringing milk to you so that what, you can nourish this baby that you did not carry, this baby that you did not bring, this baby that you did not birth into the world, but God is going to give you the baby. Well, let me spell it out for you. There's some blessings with your name on it that you did not make. There's some blessings with your name on it that you did not discover. There are some blessings that some houses, the Bible said, like there were houses and farmland and things that you did not build up, nor did you own, but he's going to give them to you. Get ready for the double harvest. He's looking for some Naomis. I'm looking for a Naomi today. Now watch this. This is not even the conclusion of it. And then in verse 17, it says this, and the woman, her neighbors gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to who? Watch this. There is a son born to who? Naomi. And they call his name Obed. Obed. And he is what? He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. He's the father of Jesse, who is the father of David. And what do we know about David, ladies and gentlemen? That this man named Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ came through down 42 generations, Matthew 1:1, read it, the lineage of Jesus Christ, when it starts with, through the lineage of what, the tribe of Judah, that we find this man named Jesus Christ that comes and he saves the world. So who, Naomi's baby that she's giving suck to, is one of the great, 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 I probably ain't said enough greats, but great relatives of who? Jesus Christ. Woo! Come on, somebody. You do not know what God wants to birth through you in this season. I'm here to tell you today that this is the year of the double harvest, and you don't know where the harvest is coming from. We thought this story was reading about Ruth and Ruth getting the blessing, but it was Naomi that he was looking for. It was Naomi that he wanted to pull this thing through. It was Naomi that he wanted to lay this through. And it was through all these things that she'd been through. The husband being dead and the sons being dead and them being poor and being broken, being disgusted and going through the thing. I'm here to tell somebody today. I'm here to remind somebody today that God has not forgotten you, baby. That hang on in there and see to what the end is going to be, because you're going to get a blessing that you didn't even design. You didn't put it together. You didn't set it up. But he's going to give it to you to nurse it. He's going to give it to you to grow it. He's going to give it to you to take it to the next level. He's going to give it to you to nourish it. He's going to give it to you. And from there, it's going to be a great lineage. And where his name shall be famous in where? All of Israel. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible said his name will be famous in all of Israel. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That his name shall be famous in all of Israel. Israel, all of it. See, God is not forgotten the year of the double harvest. He's looking for a couple of Naomis. He's looking for you. Are you Naomi today? Are you in a place that you've given up? Say, Lord, if one more thing happened to me, Lord, I'm just going to throw in the towel. Lord, if one more thing happened to me, I'm going to lose my mind. Lord, if one more thing happened to me, Lord, I'm just done with this church thing. I'm done with God. I'm done with this. But I'm here to tell you today, hang on in there. Hang on in there. Don't give up. Don't give up. Hang on in there. Hang on in there. Hang on in there. He's not forgotten you. He's gotten you. He's got you. He's got you. He's got you. He's got you. Come on, slap somebody and tell your neighbor that he's got us. He's got us. And as I remind you today, as I close on today, remind you that what, even sometimes you find yourself in desolate and we go through our things and we have our pity parties and we say, Lord, why is me? And why must I go through this? But I'm here to tell you today that God has a plan, that Naomi went through all this she went through so that what, at one point that Jesus Christ will be her grandson. Woo! That Jesus Christ will be one of her great grands. And I don't know about you, but see, God, I don't know what he got stirred up for you. I don't know what he got stirred up for me. But he told me that what all my job is to do is to keep walking and not give up and hold on in there. I know this pandemic, it's been rough on all of us. It has all our minds twisted. It has us all going ahead. And it has us all questioning things. It all has us saying, Lord, where are you, Lord? And Lord, why am I being treated like this? Lord, why am I being called out my name? Why is my character and my integrity being tested? Lord, why is my bank account the way it is, Lord? And all these things, he said, what? Hold on, because I got something that you did not design. I got something that you did not create. I got something that you did not birth, that I'm going to give to you, and you're going to nourish it. You're going to take it, and you're going to grow it, and you're going to manifest it, and you're just going to what? And it's going to grow, and it's going to be what it is that you decided to be. Because what I have, what that's going to be famous, that's going to live through you. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm done. I have nothing else to say. I don't know how much I can preach it. I don't know how much more I can say it. But God is looking for what? Naomi's. Are you willing to be a Naomi today? And a road is not easy. Sometimes they're going to die on you. Sometimes they're going to go their separate ways. But no, the guy's got one that he's going to tie to you. He's got a boy ass that's in the, owns the field who wants to do the right thing by you. Even though everybody else didn't do the right thing by you, there's a boy ass that he got that wants to do the right thing by you, who's going to love on you. Don't turn that boy ass away. Look, don't turn him away. Look, embrace him, because it's through boy ass. Through Boaz that your blessings going to come. Through your Boaz that he connects you with. That what? Now Ruth is going to give you that baby. And then what? As that baby cries, you're going to realize your strength is going to come back. You're going to realize that your milk is starting to flow. You're going to realize that your anointing is starting to come. You're going to realize, Lord, there's something for me to live for. There's some work for me to do. And through this experience, then you will be reminded of who God is. Can he look for a Naomi in you today? Hallelujah. I'm done. Hallelujah. I'm done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you pray with me real quickly as we go out today? Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this word, oh God. Lord, I ask that you touch your people, oh God, that this word be penetrating on someone on today. Lord, you, that they come to know you, Lord, you, they know that you're looking for Naomi's, oh God. There's a Naomi out there that you're looking for, Lord Jesus. That's one that you want to turn their heart, Lord Jesus, of stone, Lord Jesus, to softness, oh God. Lord, all that they've been through, the trouble that they've been through, the situation they've been through, Lord, the things that they wanted to give up on, God, but Lord Jesus, you're going to restore these years, oh God, for you are the restorer, oh God. Lord Jesus, that which was dried up in thee, Lord Jesus, will regenerate itself, oh God, and it will flow. And Lord, I ask you that you allow the blessings to flow, flow. Lord Jesus, that we open up ourselves, oh God, to receive a blessing that we don't have room to receive, oh God, that men should give unto our bosom, Lord. And we're grateful, Lord, we love you, and we praise your name, and we give your name all the honor and all the praise, the glory and the power, Lord, for it belongs to you and you alone, for we dare not touch that glory, but we ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. For we know this one thing, we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. If this message has been a blessing to you on this morning, I ask that you consider giving to the Safe House Church. Here on this morning, the Safe House Church. Here we are. Would you consider giving to the Safe House Church this morning? That everything here we get goes straight to the Safe House Church. Here you can give. So if you decide to mail something, you can mail us a check or money order to Finding Fish Ministries at P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina 27358. Again, that's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina 27358. Or you can do the cash out. That's $ Safe House Church, GSO. Look for the little SH symbol. That's our symbol. It's in purple. That's $ Safe House Church, GSO. Or you can do paypal.me/ministry8. Again, that's paypal.me/ministry8. God bless you all. I love you all. God has just been so good to us. And this year of the double harvest, I'm just so grateful, y'all. God just keeps dropping these, I think, these powerful, powerful, powerful packs. Messages on us.